It's your girl of Suhaiti, your go-to chica for all things love, and you're listening to Self Love Served Raw, where we dish on self-love, relationships, and personal development sin pelo en la lengua. Now let's get raw. Season 3, episode 3, that's what you're listening to right now, y'all. And I want to thank you all before I introduce the episode. Thank you all so much for your support. I relaunched this podcast a little bit over a week ago, and the first episode got over 300 plays and counting, and the second episode, which is Make Ish Happen on Mondays, the weekly little episodes that I'm doing to help motivate you and inspire you into being the best version of yourselves, that already got 200 plays in a couple of days. So thank you. I so appreciate it. I'll appreciate it more if you subscribe and leave a review. That really, really helps the podcast. But I'm going to stop begging because this episode is fire. We're talking about how to reignite intimacy when you have resentment in a relationship. We're going to get into it with Marissa Nelson, who is a licensed marriage and couples therapist. Like, she is so savvy. She literally gave me a therapy lesson on air. It was so, so insightful, and I know you're gonna love it. So stay tuned, it's coming. But before I go, I'm gonna remind you again, and I'm gonna beg, please subscribe to the podcast if you're new. And if you are a loyal listener, thank you. But don't forget to leave a review and rate this jammy. It really helps. Now let's get to Marissa and intimacy and resentment. So I'm so excited to introduce Marissa Nelson to everyone, talking about reigniting intimacy after resentment. I wrote about this, and so many of you personally emailed me letting me know that you had been through it, are still going through it, and really appreciated the dialogue, right? So I wanted to continue the conversation with someone that is licensed in this topic, because I am not an expert, people. I might pretend like I am, but I'm not. So Marissa, please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I am so happy to be here. And thank you again to the loveliest of the lovely for inviting me and sharing this space with me. I'm so excited to be here. Again, my name is Marissa Nelson. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, ASEC certified sex therapist and sexuality educator, and founder of Intimacy Moons Couples Retreats and Intimacy IVF. In short, I love couples, and this is what I do all day, every day.
I got y'all an expert, okay? Not just a therapist, a marriage and couples counseling and a sex therapist. You're welcome. So let's talk a little bit about resentment and how that can really build a wedge between couples regarding intimacy.
Well, you know, let's start from the beginning, because a lot of reasons why couples would come see a therapist, but also a sex therapist, is really a couple of things. One, if I had a dime for every time somebody said, we have communication issues, we have trust issues, I think the bulk of my work, and I work with couples throughout various different stages of their life cycle, right? So I've had couples as young as 21, couples as old as 20, or as young, I should say, as 75, who are working through some of the very similar issues. And most of the time, it's really around communication, trust issues, feeling safe in a relationship, being able to show up as your authentic self, and really being that acceptance of your partner, and your partner accepting you for exactly who you are and as you show up, and not trying to change you or pull you to be or force you or blame you or shame you into being anything that you are not. So part of my work is really kind of helping understand couples, how did we get here, right? Take me back to the scenes of the crime, because when you come in and say that you have resentment, remember, anger is really short term. Resentment is long standing. Resentment is accumulation and a drip, 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 situation after situation that gets you to a point where now a lot of the foundation of your relationship is really eroded. You didn't just get here, you know, today. This is something that has been consistent over time, right? And so one of the things that I work with couples is as an attachment-based therapist. And basically what that just means is I look at your relationship with your mother, your father, previous relationships, previous marriages, or long-term relationships, And I really want to understand the theme in your life. How did you learn how to love? How did you learn how to even have intimacy and closeness? Like, and what are the barriers to that? And how does that affect you in relationship now? So those are some of the questions that I'm looking for when I work with couples. And you will hear, you know, the heartache of, you know, clients coming in saying, you know, my partner really reminds me of my dad. Because I remember when my dad wasn't there for me, or I remember when I had people in my family who told me I would never amount to anything. And now my partner, I can never satisfy my partner on everything I do. I'll never make them happy.
I can relate to that, all of it. Because I went to an attachment therapist with my ex-fiance, because all of that you said, I don't know if I knew that's what it was, but that's exactly what he did. And it is amazing how it's mind blowing how we choose partners if we haven't worked through things that are exactly like the people. And sometimes it's not even mother or father. My ex was a lot like my sister.
There you go. Siblings.
Because my sister triggers me in certain ways. And the whole thing about accepting your partner as is, I feel like in my personal experience, it's, you know, you fall in love, you meet this person, you think they're wonderful, and then, you know, layers drop and, you know, it's like we're not the veneer, right? You know, we have flaws, everybody has things. And then there's this expectation of you being this person that they hyped you up to be. And I'm like, no, but like, this is me, like I'm raw here, you know, like I'm still that, but I'm also this. And I feel like that's where I've struggled because of the not getting to know you enough, you know, and then they see the veneer shiny. And then when I'm like, I am flawed, they're like, yeah. But the expectation was that. So can you go back to that? And I'm like, but this is me, right? And to not be accepted for who you are authentically is very, very hard. Like you don't feel like you're good enough, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because when you said that, you're talking about taking off the veneer. I literally just got finished with the session. And I thought one of the things that my client said that was really profound, and, you know, they said, I asked in previous relationship that didn't work out, what was the lesson? What did you learn from that? Like what experience, what did you take from that, that guides the way in which you show up in your new relationship? And they said something that really, I was like, I'm really proud of you for saying that, which is the lesson they got was, you know, to take the mask off as soon as possible when there is nothing on the line and you have nothing to lose.
That is like mic drop.
Yes, because and we were having this big conversation about this where it is, you know, in the beginning, it makes sense. You know, you're in that beginning phase of love. You're getting to know each other. And I do think part of it, you can say veneer, but part of it is who you are. I think that we've all built up our presentational self, right? The self that we want people to see, the way in which we want to show up in the world. That's kind of normal, but it takes a while because it's easy for people to have the presentational self and it's harder for people to be vulnerable. So I think a lot of times people live in that space of this is the way I want people to think about me, know me, experience me. But then when you get to know each other and the stuff hits the fan and you really are faced with challenges, how do we negotiate all of these different things? I want this, you want that. I want children, you don't. What do we do with this? You know what I mean? Like I want to have sex and you don't. Like, how do we negotiate? How do we navigate this? And that's when people feel like there's a bait and switch. And it's not. It's just that I do find that we don't come with manuals on how to communicate. We don't come with instructions. And a lot of times we end up getting triggered. And so our message is lost. The intent is lost. Because now I'm trying to tell you how I feel and you're trying to tell me that it's not right, that you don't agree with it, I'm wrong, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and now this is a character assassination. So I can't even feel trust. I can't trust you to be myself, to tell you how I feel, because this is not a safe space. I can't come to you and tell you and be my authentic self. So now couples are kind of dancing around.
It's walking on eggshells. Yeah, right. You're just walking on eggshells, trying not to do something wrong, say something wrong, trigger the person, whether you're the person that feels triggered, the person that's triggering. It's not a comfortable situation. And then for me, in my experience, then you're constantly disappointed. And then that leads to resentment. Because if you feel like someone's not understanding you, not meeting your needs and constantly disappointing you, then as you said, it's you seethe and you're like, oh, and they're not getting me. And eventually you're like, whatever. It's like indifference. Like, I don't even care. You disconnect completely. And you even forget like why you fell in love in the first place.
And that is your defense mechanism coming up. I think that what I would love people to understand about relationships is that, you know, we are always protecting ourselves from getting hurt. I don't know a person alive who hasn't been let down or disappointed by someone in their life, or somebody didn't show up for them in the way that they needed. We all have exes to a certain extent because things just didn't work out.
And it could be as early as childhood where someone hurt us and disappointed us. Yeah,
exactly. And we're always, that's just the way that part of our brain works, where we're always scanning for threats. We're always trying to see if somebody is going to hurt us. I think the goal of healthy partnership is to deactivate always, you know, trying to react to your partner and allowing yourself and learning how to be safe for one another, learning how to communicate through your differences. It's the acceptance of differences that keeps love alive, people together, and no resentment or less resentment, because you don't have time to let things fester. Resentment comes from things being unacknowledged and situations that are not addressed or resolved. That is resentment. Resentment is, you don't understand me and we didn't heal from all of these things that you did before.
And it keeps happening.
And on top of those things that keep happening, I imagine that that partner is also tasking you to do something and be something that you are not. So it compounds you feeling even more angry and resentful
and unseen and all these things and unheard. Yeah.
And when you feel that, many people can separate the, you know, emotions and resentment from sexuality and intimacy. There's plenty of people who can like rage sex and, you know, they can compartmentalize stuff. Right. But for a lot of people, men and women and, you know, whatever, you know, other genders that you identify with, there's many people who can't separate the two. It's very hard for many people to step into intimacy if I don't feel safe with you.
Well, there's also a difference between sex and intimacy, right?
100%. There is a difference between sexuality and intimacy. And I'm talking about intimacy in all levels, emotionally, mind, body, spirit. In all ways, is very hard for you to be able to step into that space, and for many people to step into that space if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel understood, if they don't feel loved, if they feel like, I'm still recovering from you cheating on me. I'm still recovering from you sending somebody else messages about how you feel about them. And you haven't said that to me in a really long time. I'm still recovering from that. So it's really hard for me to then turn on like a switch and be able to meet your needs, be close, be intimate, share all my feelings. Because now there's a wall up that I'm working to bring all the way down. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it's resonated with me. It's like a flashback of my life.
Tell me what comes up for you the most when you think about that.
This is going to be a therapy session. No, everything you said, like the fact that it's not just one thing, right? It's a continuation of being disappointed and having these expectations and not those basic expectations not being met and not communicating about the things in the way that the partner understands or doesn't feel attacked. And then it does become a my way, your way. You're trying to change me. You're trying to change me. And yes, like, sure, you can have sex. But like, I feel like most people, when they are in a relationship, like committed relationship, the intimacy is, that's the relationship. So once you stop talking, you know, once I wasn't able to talk to my partner, once I felt judged by my partner, once I felt that everything that I did that wasn't what he wanted me to do pissed him off, and push them away more. For me, the more I try to change myself to fix it, right? Because that's my hang up, right? Like I know I've been in therapy. I know my baggage. So I have abandonment issues. So I felt that his resentment was him abandoning me, and eventually he would abandon the relationship. So I tried everything to make him happy and fix it. And it didn't work because ultimately it was a lack of acceptance of who I am as a person and who I was as a partner. Because we never had the communication and those foundational conversations before we moved in together and got really serious about what we needed as partners, right? He had a completely different idea of what a relationship was than I had. He had completely different needs than I had.
And most people do. But the issue is that if you are, and I always tell my clients this, if you are defending your character, there is no space to grow intimacy. You can't grow intimacy where you feel like you are defending the core of who you are to your partner. If you are defensively protecting yourself and having to defend who you are and your character, your integrity, and being misunderstood
all the time. Yeah, and that's what it was. We had such different, and we still do, he's the father of my child, ways of communicating and interpreting our communication, that I would communicate something in one way and he would think it was completely different. And I'm like, but that's not what I meant. And then he would take it as an affront. He would take it as an insult. And sometimes because of my baggage, he would say things to me and I would take it as rejection because I have baggage, right? And he also has baggage. And these were things that we didn't discuss and probably didn't work through enough on our own before we got together, right? So we were definitely projecting, hardcore projecting. And I realized like he was my mirror, you know, like I had serious codependency issues. Guess what? He hated codependency. You know, he is someone that didn't grow up in a very tight family unit. My family's like, whew. So the things that he wanted and he needed, I had, and vice versa, because we were total opposites, but we could never come together because we could never have an open dialogue where we both had understanding in order to you know, for it not to get to the point that it did, where there was cheating and resentment, and, you know, eventually we broke up.
But that's the thing about relationships, you know, they're in our inner imago. And imago is a type of relationship therapy that I actually practice and is a modality of couples work. But within imago, one of the tenets of it is that we love and we heal in relationship. That on our own, we can do a lot of work, right? We can go to therapy, we can read the self-help books, we can grow on our own, but we don't really see our stuff until we are connected to someone else, because that's when we're tested. That's when our stuff really shows up and we have to work through it. But the beauty of relationships is that no matter what relationship we find ourselves in, it is we uniquely seek out partners that have what it takes to heal us. That even in any relationship, there are still lessons to learn. And like you said, it is the mirror, that there are so many people in our lives, not just our partners, our friends too.
Our sisters, brothers, coworkers, bosses.
Because our stuff shows up everywhere. Okay. If you have abandonment issues, you might have that friend that needs a little bit too much from you. And you always find yourself giving and giving and giving.
That's me. I'm totally aware of it. And I feel like it's a lifelong lesson. Because I'm constantly confronted by these triggers, right? That are going to trigger like, am I worthy enough? Am I lovable? Are you going to leave me? So it's something that I truly believe that if he was willing to do the work, then maybe things wouldn't have ended up. But I do believe that in order for you to heal when you're in a relationship, both of the people in the they both have to do the work, because you can't be the only person saying, let's make this work. I'm going to heal while you heal. If the person doesn't even believe that there's anything to heal.
And I think that's the unfortunate part. I find when couples are in that space, or when somebody's in that space, I mean, we don't all, particularly I will talk to some of my male clients and some of the men that are out there, even just all of us. Therapy is still, I work every day. All of us are working really hard to fight and destigmatize mental health, to destigmatize, you know, even just the socialization that we get around our emotions, we just don't know, we don't have the tools. We try really hard. And so no matter where you come from, I know that we kind of sort of can throw in the towel sometimes because we've tried everything we know how to try. We said all the things that we know how to say, and we just don't know how to fix it. We just don't know what to do. We just don't know how to fix it, right? And it's much easier for it to be your fault than it is to be my fault or our dynamic that both of us have to be accountable for, that both of us have to put in the work. Because you know what? Putting in the work involves uncovering some really hard emotions. We're looking at our own shame and our own guilt and our own abandonment. And some people have more tolerance to do that. Some people have more emotional capacity to do that. And some, for some people, this is their first peeling back of the onion, right? So the very lesson is that I learned in this relationship what I'm willing to accept and not accept. And I am learning my own worthiness by knowing when it's time to walk away. And that's your lesson. And perhaps your partner's lesson is maybe next time I need to lean in a little bit more and look at my own work and look at my own stuff. And instead of getting triggered, actually do the work that is required to not hurt anyone and have any victims.
Yeah. And that was the biggest lesson for me. Like I have enough work to know when it's time to walk away. And I refuse to feel like I'm constantly having to prove something to someone, right? Because I am enough. And there was a lot of other layers, you know, codependency that I also had to. So I know my part in the relationship withering. I don't know if he does. That's on him. I'm moving on with me. And I actually do want to move on because I would love to talk about any advice you can give to couples that are, you know, just like in this space where there is that resentment and it is infecting their intimacy, not just sexually, but just like their connection, right? Because it starts more with the connection and then it kind of trickles down to the actual boudoir.
I think you have it perfectly right. And I think that for me, the reason why you've been started intimacy moons is really to redefine what intimacy means. Because most of the time when people think about intimacy, they go straight to sex. And intimacy is everything, including sex. Intimacy is the way that you even look at your partner, the way that you hold their hand, you know, the affection that you share for each other, you know, the memories and the nostalgia that you have, the closeness, you know, in your embrace. And it is all the, can be sexy, erotic, kinky, all of the expansion of your heart. It is all of that intimacy is. And so I think that for me, one of the things that I would love for couples to know when they're dealing with resentment is, one, you are not alone, right? You are not alone. I think that a lot of times people believe that they're the only ones in their experience, or that relationship, there should be some idealized version of the perfect relationship. Welcome. This is relationships, right? And this is part of it. You know, Esther Perel says something really interesting, which is, you know, you can have many relationships and many marriages and oftentimes with the same person, and that the, right? And that in the different phases of your life and your experience, it's going to require and task you to work through various different issues. Your issues when you are first-time parents are going to be very different issues than when your kids are, you know, 9 and 10 and teenagers, and very different than when you're empty nesters and, you know, when you are, you know, it's just the two of you and you're there to look at each other and say, what do we do now? And so the resentment, there has to be a place where your love and your desire to connect is bigger than your desire, not just to be right or righteous, but to be heard. Because a lot of times within our pain and in our resentment, we hurt other people too. Because in resentment, if you look and deconstruct resentment, when we haven't gotten what we needed in a really, really long time, we become really entitled. And I say that in our entitlement, it is, I am not willing to give you one more thing until you acknowledge my feelings and until you begin to give me what I need. I refuse to give you what you need. My line in the sand, I will fight you. I will be defensive. I will throw every dagger at you because you are not acknowledging my pain. You are not giving me what I need. And therefore I cannot risk getting hurt again. So step one is to take a step back. Well, step one is really you're not alone. And I would say the second thing is put down the knives.
That's not always easy for people because they're so caught up in their righteousness and, but I've done this and I've done that. And it's been so many years and I'm so tired, right? How many times have I heard that from all my girlfriends that have been in relationships for years and years because I'm so tired of him doing this and this and that.
Exactly. But I think putting down your knives means that these are our defense mechanisms. These are our defenses because this is how we protect ourselves. If you have been hurt and you know the nights that you have cried, you know that you've put you know the heartaches and the hurt that you have put in. You know that experience and maybe some very close people to you. And so when I say put down the knife, the emotional knife, so to speak, I mean that I think I want you to know that pain is pain. And you feel pain, but your partner feel pain too. And I think that we forget that even though we have our own pain and our own experience, we forget that our partner also have their experiences of us. And there are the times where we haven't been the biggest, best version of ourselves. And we have also hurt our partner. We've probably done a lot of wonderful things for our partner. We've probably been there a lot for our partner. But there are times where we have hurt our partner's feelings. And it requires for both of you to acknowledge in each other's pain and also be proactive in each other's healing.
Right, come from a place of not blame, but just like even putting yourself in just the, you know, your partner's shoes, you know, like how would I have felt if I would have spoken to my partner like that, right? If I would have promised this and I didn't follow through. And for people, sometimes it is tough because we're so focused on what they did to us that we sometimes forget, like it does take two to tango.
It takes both of you. And then it also, I think on the step above that is that how do you create safety and communication with each other? Because you can't work through the resentment. If all you're doing is, well, you did this, and you don't do this, and that's why you always do this, and that's why I don't trust you, and you remember when you did this. We throw the kitchen sink at each other when we feel hurt. Listen, I understand it. It makes sense. It's human nature to defend yourself when you feel like you have been wronged and when you have been hurt. However, in order for change to happen, you gotta have radical honesty and communication. When I say that, it is, how do we use our communication to heal? How do we use our communication to be a bridge to each other? I will never fully understand your experience. You will never fully understand my experience, but how can we have empathy, compassion, openness, and honesty to understand that we both contributed to this? And if we want to move forward, which I hear more often than not, if we can fix this, I would love to. But people want to fix it, but they don't want to do it.
Well, they don't want to do the work, but they want to fix the other person. They just want to fix what the other person's doing and not take a look at what they're doing. And empathy is such a word for me because I feel like to have a healthy relationship, it's communication, but it's empathy. You really have to realize that someone else is having a completely different experience in this relationship because of who they are and how they're built and their experiences, you know, and their upbringing and their connections. It's a different lens completely.
It's not a zero sum game. And I think that we, you know, in relationships, again, you're two people from two different backgrounds, two different environments, coming together and sharing your lives. And there are going to be a lot of places where that is congruent and you are aligned. And there are going to be a lot of places where you're not. And that is okay. So there has to be a level of acceptance for, if I truly love this person, if I truly want to make this work, then we both have to do some emotional stretching to get closer to each other, to heal, and to make sure that when you tell me something, I'm not going to be waiting to just respond and tell you how wrong you are and how I'm ready. No, I'm going to be, there has to be a level of self-discipline in the sense of you're going to have to sit with some uncomfortable truth. Do you know how, and that is real growth. In this therapy office, there are some real conversations in the fact of, you know how hard it is to probably hear your partner say, I don't know if I'm in love with you anymore right now.
Oh, I heard that. It was the hardest thing in the world. It was like jab, 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 stab me in the heart, in the back, in the head, on the feet, like dead.
But even if that's not the truth, there are some hard truths, even with regards to intimacy. This is not the intimacy that I signed up for. I want a relationship that I feel connected in spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and this is not it. And every time I bring it up to you, you get mad. How do we move forward? And how are you surprised that I want to explore intimacy outside of our relationship? Because I need you. You haven't been showing up for me. These are the conversations that have to happen. There has to be some tolerance for the truth. Because a lot of times, the reason why there's resentment is there is no space for the truth.
How do people create space? This, like, really trust. I mean, I know it's a lot of work and it's coming to you. All right. Marissa Nelson, look her up. I want to link everything in the description of the podcast so you can follow her because she's amazing. I'm like, I wish I knew her then. But yeah, how do people create that space, like, to trust enough to be that honest?
Well, one of the things, you know, we had talked about a couple, we talked about a lot of those elements before, which is the empathy, compassion, mirroring, slowing down the process. So one of the things that I do when we're in, you know, therapy space is essentially take things in small bites. Right. I think a lot of times when we're talking about a topic, it's easy to be like, and this, and this, and this, and you remember this, and I feel like this, and I feel like this about all of these things. It's just like, we got to slow it down and we got to take things in small chunks. Right. So if we're talking about trust, let's talk about, you know, what trust means to me. I trust you with my children, but I don't trust you with my heart. What's the difference? Maybe I trust that you are committed to, you know, the building a relationship with my family and being there for me. And, you know, we go to visit our families together and you are committed to building a future together. Maybe you are able to hold things down financially, but I can't trust you emotionally. I think you have to slow things down. I think too, you've got to be able to have some, not only compassion, but you got to be able to tolerate some honesty. Because if you really want your partner to show up as their authentic self, and you want to show up as your authentic self, I bet you there's a lot of truth that you're not being honest about. I bet you there's a lot of things that you're holding back too. There's a lot of things because, you know, by nature, I believe that we are all good-hearted, loving people that do not want to hurt people we care about. And because we don't want to hurt people that we care about, we protect them. We shield them from the truth. And some of these truths build into resentment. Because when you're not able, or when you're able to throw it out when you're angry, but you're not able to talk about it when you can both be in a space where both of you can be adults about it and really be honest and have a friendship and a conversation about it, well, yeah, people are going to feel defensive. So I would say, as a friend, I wonder if there's some conversations, some friends that you've had where you're like, yeah, you know, we love each other. We care about each other. We've had our disagreements, but we're able to come out on the other side because we know that we care about each other. Your relationship should be like that. There should be a certain level of friendship. So the friendship is the space that you could come back to, because within that friendship, there is enough honesty, trust, deference, love, and respect within the friendship quadrant of your relationship that should be able to have that conversation. Some of the best relationships, they have a deep affection for each other. They are wonderful friends and they are great lovers.
That's what I'm looking for now, Marissa, a friend. I want the next guy will be my friend. shy, taking it back.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, I truly believe that you have to be able to build that space within your relationship. Now, I'm not sitting here advocating that everybody needs to be friends and not lovers. No, but there has to be different spaces that coexist within your relationship.
For it to be long lasting, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna be with someone for 40, 50, 60 years, it can't just be one thing.
You're gonna have to evolve. And with your evolution, so does your communication need to evolve. For everybody listening out there, if you've been with a partner, you know that you are not the same person that you were, I would even venture to say yesterday, than you were a year ago, than you were 2 years ago. And particularly in these times that we are living in right now, there's so much uncertainty. All of our stuff has come up to the surface. All of our fears, our anxieties, whether it's financial fears, whether it's emotional, just safety and survival fears, health fears, family fears, friend fears, there's so much that's coming to the surface. So right now, more than ever, you do not want your relationship to be that place that is not safe. This is a time where you really are needing to be close to each other and bring each other even closer for comfort, for nurturing, for soothing, for to be each other's safe haven. That's what you need more than ever. And I think the way to get past the resentment is your love for each other and your love for healing and your wanting to be better people for each other, and for many of you out there, for your children, for yourself, then growth has to be bigger than your resentment.
I'm gonna quote that and put it on Instagram. Growth has to be, let me write it down. Growth has to be bigger than your resentment.
If not, you could just stay there, but that doesn't really serve anyone. Your resentment does not pay bills. Your resentment does not, the only thing your resentment does is keep you awake at night and keep you more blocked and keep you from moving forward into a life and a relationship that really is meaningful for you.
What are some tools, like communication tools, if you're someone that's listening, that's resentful, and you want to speak your truth to your partner, right? And you feel like you're it's time, like I'm ready. I listen to this, I'm going to be honest. What are some communication tools to not come in like attacking defensiveness?
Right. So there's many of us out there that are, let's say this, there's many of us out there that are maximizers and many of us that are minimizers, right? So if you're a maximizer, you're very emotive. You tend to want to problem solve. If something goes, if in an argument, you tend to be like, no, I want to talk about it now. Please, let's talk about it now. I want to fix it. Why are you leaving? Let's do this now. If you're one of those people, I understand. I happen to be one of those people too. So you are amongst friends, but I think what it really requires is for you to lean back. There has to be a calibration, right? For people that tend to be very emotive and very close to their emotions, and it's easier for you to say how you're feeling and what's on your heart, is going to require for you to step back a little bit, right? So how can you be your authentic self, obviously, but what does 50% of that look like? Because if you don't lean back, you don't give space for your partner to lean forward, because that's what they need. They need to be able to step forward towards you so that they can share what their reality is. And so you have to create space emotionally in your conversation, in your communication for them, because many of us maximizers tend to be like, oh, this is how I feel. And we can be very rapid fire. And so it really slow down, step back, create space for your partner to respond. So understand that some people do not have all the words and they do not have all the right words. And what you mean and how you say things are going to be very different to how other people say things. Meet people where they're at. Meet your partner where they're at. You know the partner that you got.
For real. Yes, because I'm someone that's really emotive, but and I had to work on that in my last relationship because he's a lot more logical, less talkative, right? He speaks with his head, not his heart, right? And I'm all heart. So I had to learn how to find like a balance to give him the space to be able to communicate. And like I had to take what he said as how he said it, because it's like he's not going to be someone that's going to be all, you know, coming from a heart space when he talks. He is more analytical and logical. And sometimes that meant giving him space to come back with an answer, not in the moment, because that's just not the way he communicates. It's not who he is.
Exactly. For the minimizers out there, it requires for you to step in, because many minimizers are internal processors. So if you can look at a maximizer as an external processor, I heal and understand things and can process things by talking through it. Minimizers tend to do that work internally. They're the clients that tell me, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to get angry because I know what happens when I get angry. So they tend to shut down. They tend to, you know, instead of saying how they feel, you can see it on their face. They may throw a comment out or two, might be the ones who might leave an argument. If you are one of those people, always make, if you need to walk away, it is okay. But you need to make a, you need to contract with your partner to do that. You say, listen, I realize that I'm getting really, really upset. And I don't want to say anything that I don't mean. I care about you. Give me 5 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. But it can't be more than 10, 15 minutes. You have to be the one to come back, and you have to be the one to initiate the conversation, because you don't get to leave. That's not fair either to your partner. I think for both of you to have what you need, the other person needs to realize, you know what, everybody processes things differently. You can take a time out. Take 5-10 minutes to just bring the temperature down. Go get a glass of water. Go take some time to like decompress. And then you take 10 or 15 minutes and you come back. But you have to come back. And when you come back, you're talking about what happened for you. What got triggered in you? How did you take it? If your partner really knew you, what would you want them to know? How is this hurting you? How do you want your partner to know that they hurt you? And not doing it in a place where you always do this, you blame it. No, we got to take their defenses down. This is what I need from you. When I hear you say X, this is the way I react. Next time, could you say this? I realized this triggered me, or maybe I didn't mean to do that. And when you said this, it really upset me. And that's why I had to walk away. But this is what I need from you moving forward. Always come up with solutions. Don't just be the one to be like, you do this, you do this, you never do this, you never do that. We all want to make our partners happy. I think that from a basic level, if we all knew what to do 24 hours to make our partners happy, and we were in a space where we can give that, we would. We would be gracious. So be gracious. Ask your partner what they need. Apologize for triggering each other. Apologize for your part. Commit that you want to do things differently. You may not get it perfectly all the time, but you definitely want to be there. You definitely don't want to upset, hurt them. And if both of you can do that, you can end up on the other side of that without any resentment.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. We've run out of time. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can like get your therapy sessions. Because I feel like, oh, you took me to church right now. Like, I love all this type of conversation. And I always said if I had a clone, she would be a marriage and couples counselor, therapist, because I love all this content. I love learning about this. So where can people find you on social media and your website? And I'll make sure to put that in the description of the podcast also, they can have all that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Please visit me at www.intimacymoons.com. You can follow me at Intimacy Moons on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn at Intimacy Moon.
That's how we found each other.
Yeah, that's how we connect. So you can find me, just type in Intimacy Moons, and we're really proud of the work that we've done over the last couple of years. You know, it takes a lot of work to be number one retreat in the world.
So you have the retreat, right? But you have your practice?
Yeah, so I have my private practice. And so if you want to work together, please also feel free to reach out to me. But yes, I also do retreat. You know, right now, given the state of the pandemic, everything is really happening virtually. The fingers crossed, hopefully we're in a different place and I'll be able to host my couples again in Barbados and in the Caribbean in 2022. So it's very exciting.
You have retreats for single women?
Yes, actually, we're building that for next year. Yes, you have a whole model for single.
Okay, I might have to be all up in there. I would love that. I've always wanted to do something like that because I believe in personal development and constantly learning, and I love therapy. Probably because I love talking about myself.
Well, absolutely. If there's any, you know, I also do small groups. I do private retreats as well. So that's what I, prior to COVID, and even now, I always host private retreats and also private group experiences. So if you and a whole bunch of your girlfriends or a whole bunch of couples that want to get together and do a private, you know, experience virtually, of course, for now, and really get some relationship skill building tools, really be able to reignite your intimacy and grow closer, and really work on that emotional work that is so important, really helping you transform your relationship, reach out to me, intimacymoon.com.
That's it for me, your girl, Love Suhaiti. How amazing was that? Marissa Nelson, you have blown my mind. Blown my mind. I cannot wait to go to one of your retreats, whether single or with a man. Make sure to follow her on social media. Check her out, Intimacy Moons. Again, that's going to be in the description. So check out the podcast description. Follow me on social media at Love Suhaiti. And of course, as I always say, screen capture this podcast as you're listening to it. Share it on Instagram stories and I will re-share it all the time. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for Monday's episode of Make-ish Happen that you don't want to miss. And also, next week, we have a great episode for men only. So stay tuned, subscribe, and thank you for all the love. Till next time.